20 to 25?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, Frank.
Yeah, Frank.
Hi, I'm Frank, I'm an alcoholic. So, first of all, I'm really glad to be speaking at this meeting. It's, you know, this is crazy. Okay. Anyway, maybe I'll go back. What was I going to say? But yeah, this meeting was super important to me, and it still is, and I came here, you know, I guess if you stick in AA long enough, a lot of people, well, you'll stop going for a while, you know, and hopefully you come back and you know, that's my story. But before I go there, I mean, I guess I'll tell you how it was, my experience. I was, you know, I was born in the Midwest. I felt pretty normal, like, you know, like, I felt different, though. I wouldn't say my childhood was, like, out of the ordinary, but I've always felt extremely different or, like, left out, you know? And, like, even in AA is, like, where we're all kind of different. I never even feel like sometimes I fit in here. It's, like, the ultimate way to never fit in, you know? And, like, growing up, I always felt like there was something wrong with me. Like, even at the age of 4 or 5, you know, I remember having, like, 2 friends, and we were all from the neighborhood, and they would always, like, sit on, you know, the bus sat twos, you know, they would sit with each other, and I would be the one left out. I'd be like, man, what do they have? What am I missing, you know? Am I missing some piece of, like, humanity that they can't connect with? Like, I have some sort of thing, like, I don't know. But anyway, I had, like, a lot of problems at home. You know, my family fell apart when I was, I think, in first grade. And then from then on, I think it was me taking care of myself. You know, a lot of stuff had happened at a young age to kind of erode my ability to trust and to rely on other people. The way, you know, the only reason I'm going to this is, you know, it accelerated my alcoholism, and I did get sober. I got sober young. You know, I got sober when I turned 17, and I think there's something special about, you know, people that get sober young, and I've always wondered why do I get sober young? Like, how come I couldn't ride it out? Like, it's because I never had any, like, not only wasn't I, like, an alcoholic, I was also born without, I think, without any, like, coping skills. I didn't have any self-worth. I didn't have a supportive family. So I think I didn't have some sort of situation where I had all these friends and, like, my life was rich. I had this career. And then I just, you know, couldn't stop with the booze, and I slowly threw it all away. Like, I never had anything to throw away, you know? And I think, I'm pretty sure that's why I didn't have, like, I felt extremely isolated and lonely, you know? And after a while, like, the drugs and the alcohol stopped working, you know? Because I started, the first time I drank, I was, I think I was 11 the first time I got drunk, and 11 or 12, and my mom was getting married to my stepfather, and there was a keg. It was the day before the marriage, and, like, you know, they were tapping the keg, and in my stepfather's family, you know, they were kind of, like, they're all from Indiana, and so they're, like, literally Hoosiers. That's what they call them. They're like farm people, and you know, they would let kids drink, you know, that was, like, a thing, and so all of a sudden I'm able to drink, and I've always felt, you know, especially around that age, it's a very annoying age to be, and I've always felt, like, an extremely, I think I've shared this before, I feel like I'm a very annoying person, and a lot of my lot of energy goes to like coping with that. You know, I feel like extremely unlikable. And when I drank, I didn't really feel like that. You know, like I was kind of like, you know, like what was I like? I was thinking on the way over. Like I remember my stepsister and her boyfriend. And I was like, hey guys, when are you guys gonna finally get married? And like I was kind of like talking. And I was drunk, and I was finally able to be in my own skin. And like whatever it is that I didn't even know I had was completely like satiated at that moment, and it was like such a relief. And people say, you know, you drink when you're sad, you drink when you're happy, and it's kind of like there was that, and I didn't have enough self awareness to know, oh, I'm drinking because I feel like shit. You know, I just wanted to not be in pain. And I didn't even know I was in pain in a weird way. You know, and that's kind of been a theme for me is like, and I guess I'll get to it later, is that like, sometimes you don't know how much pain you're in until shit gets better, you know, until you get a taste of it. And like, it's almost like I was too stupid to realize how miserable I was, you know, how isolated I felt, because it felt so normal to me. And so I continued on like that. I would get arrested. I'd fight. I had anger problems. I spent a lot of time. I spent from eighth grade till I got sober on probation. You know, always the fear of the drug test, the PO, the this, the that. You know, nothing got me sober. I would be in court ordered rehabs. You know. You know, like, and that's something when I see young people come in this meeting, it's either, why do young people get sober? You know, like, either their parents, you know, force you to be here, and I've been in that position, or like government or law or whatever, or there's another thing where I think there's something very like special, like I said, about young people who get sober, is that I believe that they don't have like some fundamental social skill that most people that can make it for a while have, you know. That I think the guys that get sober when they're 50 or whatever, there's something more relatively intact about that person, I think. And for me, I never had that, you know, so I fell apart, and there's nothing to, I think I'm explaining the same point again, but I put a lot of thought into that. And then why did I stay sober? Shit, you know, like, I guess I can say I didn't get sober at the lowest point. I got sober when it was time to go to rehab. You know, things started actually getting a little better, but it was time to go. And I guess I don't need to spend so much time talking about, you know, my bottom. There was physical parts, you know, but a lot of it was spiritual, and a lot of it was emotional, and a lot of it was, like, I hated myself. Like, I absolutely hated myself. Like, in my dreams, I would hate myself, you know. Like, I remember one time I did a bunch of acid, and I looked at myself in the mirror, and, like, I just remember looking at myself and just thinking, like, oh, you, I was really, you know, I was a skinny kid. I was like, oh, you fucking rat, fuck, piece of shit, fuck you, look at you, you fucking pathetic, you know, like, and that was my inner dialogue, and I would get drunk, and I would get drunk and look at myself, and I would like spit in mirrors. My mom would always go, why the fuck are there loogies on the mirrors all the time? Like, what else? I would hit myself. I would give myself huge, I get drunk and just smash myself in the face. One time with one of those kind of porcelain trash cans, like, give myself shiners. I would put cigarettes out of my arms. I hated myself, you know. I fucking hated myself. And And guess what? I got sober. And I still hated myself. You know? Like, oh, I'm not doing drugs anymore. Oh, you know, whoopee. You know, I got sober in this rehab. It was cult-like. It was in another state. I think that was the only way I could do it. I packed up, left that life I had in Kansas City, never spoke to any of my friends, never spoke to anybody in my life other than my family really ever again. You know, I changed lives. And I moved in with the family, and we... It was also in this kind of rehab. It was, like I said, it was culty, but there was this thing where the kids, they would all hug each other and say, like, I love you. And I thought that was very weird. And I really, you know, there's something very disingenuous about it then and, like, and now. But something worked. They were actually, most of them were really sober. And sometimes, you know, young people's AA can get a little like Lord of the Flies, like a little scary. If you've ever been to conventions or whatever, it's a little crazy, you know, because there needs to be leaders in any situation, you know, like this. And then when there's young people leading young people, it gets crazy, you know. But like I said, for me, it's done ultimately more good than harm, because I'm still sober. And I think I came in and I did a lot of service, like picking people up, giving people rides. You know, I didn't quite get through really the steps, but the service was like a big thing there. And I did that for a while and then kind of bottomed out. And I think I think the way I'm, you know, set up to work is that... anything I get close to, I'll eventually start hating, you know? And any friend I've had, I've probably hated you at one point. If I haven't, then I haven't known you long enough, you know? And any sponsor I've had, I've gotten rid of or just stopped calling, you know? Anything I've ever joined, I've quit, except AA, you know? I become like, I think, disenfranchised. I have the worst problem with any type of thing that resembles family. I'm built to disconnect, you know, to isolate. And I've taken a lot of that with me in sobriety. And I think also when you get sober young, I didn't hit that bottom, like that physical bottom that, you know, I see a lot of people. Got older guys, older women who hit they live that hell, and they get sober and their life picks up, and they have that willingness. And I think when you're young, you're not going to have that, and so you're going to hit. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but it doesn't have to be that way, but I've hit a lot of my bottoms in sobriety, because I think you got to pay one way or the other, you know. And it's because, you know, I'm stubborn, and the way this alcoholism works is that I'm not going to listen to anybody. I'll say I do, and I'll be like, yeah, you're right. Or I can predict what they're going to say. I was like, yeah, you know, I'm just selfish, you know, but really I'm not really going to listen. And there's a certain amount of submission that's involved with the steps and with the program that you have to, I think, unless you're a nice kid or whatever, and I don't think most of you guys are, you have to, you know, be dragged down, enough to do it. And so this has been my experience. And there was a certain point where I did some self-harm in sobriety. I was like, I think three or four years, and you know, I hit myself, you know, a bunch in the face, and then I was driving, crying, and I was gonna crash my car into a pole, and then I could see my eyes swelling, and you know, I could see them, and I had to walk around for like 2 months with these like two shiners. I looked like a raccoon, and people, you know, the store, like, what happened to your face? And I'm lying, but oh, I got mugged, or they're like, no, you didn't. And then I was like, but what am I gonna say? I you know, I hit myself in the face. Really clever. So I did. That happened, and I remember, like, this guy, this junkie in AA or whatever, he'd be like, man, you're just a couple steps away from putting a needle in your arm, man. That's how much you hate yourself. And I just remember that resonated, and I eventually got to therapy and outside help. Because I think there's one piece of advice. If you think you need it, you know, don't go, like, trying to solve that stuff in AA, because you're just going to frustrate yourself. You're going to convince yourself that you're damaged and this program can't help you. And look how happy everybody else is. And they're all smiling, but you're not. And it's not working for you. And, you know, that's the most maddening thing, is to try if you don't have any trust, you know, how are you going to, you know, do step three, you know? And how are you going to go through the rest of the steps if you don't have a step three? Because that's what step three is a declaration to finish the steps. You know, you can. I was talking to John the other day about that. You can, like, intellectualize it, but really that's what it is. You know, and I guess I'll fast forward. I got enough outside help to kind of nudge me into being able to trust and work the steps and to not drink, to not relapse. I've never relapsed. And so, you know, I got a little better. Things got a little better. And then I got good enough to stop going to AA. You know, that trope, that kind of cliche. You know, I thought I was doing well. And I had a girlfriend and all that. And I was living in St. Louis. I was DJing and worked at a hot dog cart. And I thought I was doing really well, and then, you know, I didn't go to AA for a while, like, years, you know, and I have a friend, Andrew, he, you know, I've known him since forever, and, you know, he remembers me, and there's a lot of behaviors you convince yourself are okay when you're, you know, when you got the alcoholism, and you want to feel better, and you start justifying in your mind, you start feeling entitled to take, you know, what you want to make you feel better, to make myself feel better. And I did that for a while. You know, I always had the feeling, oh, I'm going to go back. I know I'm an alcoholic, but like, ugh. Like, maybe, just not today. You know, and that went years. You know, I would have, I'm not the most functional person. You know, I lived without electricity for a long, they shut off my electricity. I just never turned it on. You know, so I would just charge my phone, my car. I tried to read in candlelight. Then they shut off the heat. The boiler broke, and that shut off. I just lived, and then one of my walls got water damaged. So I just didn't sleep in my bedroom anymore. You know, I just slept. I moved my bed into the living room. You know, and that's how I lived. And then eventually, I got a girlfriend. I just lived with her, and. But my life is completely unmanageable, and I just went that way until, you know, my father died, and then that relationship ended, and I was in New York, and I think Hurricane Sandy was just starting, and things just got really real, I guess. It's a stupid thing to say, real, but... it was like one of those things where I don't know if I wanted to drink, but sometimes after a certain point, at least for me, it's like, oh, a foregone conclusion. I'm just, you know, might as well just kill myself. And so I started slowly but surely, you know, going back to AA. And I don't really know at one point where when you decide to have willingness, it's not like, at least... You can't look at it like, okay, all of a sudden I went from 0%. Now all of a sudden I got to be willing, which means, oh, I got to do the commitment. I got to blah, 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 blah. You know, willing. That's not how it works. It's like you just got to do one little thing. And then that always builds upon itself, you know, because I can never it almost seems like an insurmountable task trying to do it all at once. So I think piecemeal is like the best way is to look at like, oh, I'm going to go to a meeting today, or I'm going to get a little itty bitty commitment. It's not going to be like, oh, I don't have to chair a meeting, but I can make coffee or something. And I got a sponsor, I think I was a little too selective. I needed a cool sponsor that would understand me. But a sponsor is somebody that takes you through the steps, and it's somebody that you don't have to like. You know, I don't like my sponsor. I'm going to be honest. I don't like him. But he's taking me through the steps. You know, I got plenty of people. If I need to talk, or if I need someone that understands me, I have plenty of friends. You know, sponsor's not a therapist. But like I said, you know, since then I've been consistently doing AA. I had another relationship, that didn't work, and plenty of living, and I'm kind of back in doing therapy again, because I hit a point where I can't get past a certain point emotionally, like after 2 years, I kind of self-destruct relationships, like romantically, and there's a lot of depression still, a lot of thing where I'm like, okay, I'll get close, but never like that close, and it becomes like almost unlivable after. I think once I reached around 30 is like when I'm like I can't keep doing this, and it's not, and it sounds dramatic, but there's never like a decision for me, at least, like no white light. It's just a bunch of little stuff, and I think today. I still have problems, all that, but I don't know how to explain it, but it's worlds, there's so much more perspective, and I feel, I can say this, I don't get feelings about my feelings, like compound feelings, where, I get scared, I'm going to get scared, or I feel angry, so now I'm scared because I'm angry because I don't know what I'm going to do when I'm angry, and it's all this, like, I can be more honest, like, if I'm not doing well, and I got to be honest, I've been in a bit of a depression, that's self, evaluated, but that I can just be there, that I can feel like shit, and I think that's not, we don't really get sober to be happy, it's more like we get sober so I can walk through what I need to walk through, and if I feel bad, I can be honest about that and share that. I'm not happy all the time, and that's almost like a privilege to not have to be happy all the time. It's I think today, as I'm going through the steps again, I sponsor, I work with a couple guys, and in the service stuff, it doesn't come naturally to me, and that's okay, because, there's, to get to the 12th step, you have to work the first 11, really. You can help people anytime, but to really, like, love somebody, I think there's a lot of stuff that needs to happen, and I can get there, and, I have a lot of, stuff in my life that, I'm not going to say, like, I have a life beyond my wildest dreams, because there was an old guy the other day at a meeting who goes, if you have a life beyond your wildest dreams, you haven't been sober long enough, and 1 minute. And I like that, it's, because I think if you stay, your life's going to, like, or my life, there's a lot of points where I get myself in a position where, I'm in, like, my life's over, or, like, and then, the next day it's not so bad, and I think, like, everybody's different, but, getting a sponsor and working the steps, will change you, and I don't know, that's kind of a generic way to end it, but, I think that's it for me. Thanks.